fits everything together with the choruses and the hymns that we sung together. Oh, it just fits in so nicely with the verses that we're going to be looking at this morning. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's found on page 1753. That's 1753 in our Pew Bibles. David's right. I did find this message this morning, or the verses that I was studying, very challenging. And sometimes we just have to accept what God's Word says by faith, because we know that it is His Word, and His Word is truth. Even though we may have difficulty in understanding it, we still need to accept it, that it's His Word. And that's His Word to us, and His Word is truth. And it all fits together. And one day we'll all find out why it all fits together and why God did it this way. And not the way maybe we thought it should have been done. But He knows a lot better how things should fit together than you or I. Last week, Phil spoke on verses 1 to 11 of Romans 5. And these verses tell us condition of man, that man is referred to as being a sinner, ungodly, an enemy. But we also read in those verses that how much that God loves us. And He demonstrated His love towards us by sending His Son to die for us, so that we can be reconciled to Him. And that word reconciled means to be restored to Him. The verses that we're going to look at this morning compares what Adam did and how it affected us, the human race, with Jesus and what He did and how it affected the human race. But before we begin, have you ever talked to someone and they said to you that they were afraid of dying? They didn't want to die. They ask you, why do we even have to die? Death has a real grip on them. And they're really afraid to die. But maybe it's you this morning. Maybe you're afraid of dying. Maybe death has got a grip of you. I'm hoping by the end of the message that God has given to me that He'll shed some light on this and maybe answer some of your own questions, or maybe that individual can answer some of their questions. But before we get into the verses, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You once again for Your Word and what Your Word says. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as You have given me this message, that You would let me speak Your words, that Your words would come true, Father, and that You would just use Your message as You've used it to speak to me, that You would use it to speak to those who are here. And Father, we just give this to You for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's take a look at our passage now. Starting in Romans 5, looking at verses 12 down to 21. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, a free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verses 12 to 14, we read of Adam's deed, of Adam's act, and the effect that it had on mankind, on humanity. Interesting point here. Adam's name means mankind. We read that through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men. But we need to make one point clear here. Adam was not the originator of sin. Sin entered through him. Adam didn't invent sin. In 1 John 3:8, it tells us that the devil has sinned from the beginning. It wasn't Adam. It was Satan. There was sin before Adam. And what was Satan's sin? He wanted to be like God. And what was Adam's? Well, we won't go back to Genesis 3, but the only thing Adam couldn't do was eat from the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's be honest. Adam did it willingly. You know, Eve was deceived, but Adam took of the fruit willingly. What was Adam being here? He was being selfish. He had everything, but it wasn't enough for him. He wanted more. The only thing he couldn't have, he still wanted. And guess what? He took it. And as a result of Adam's act, sin entered the world. Or that is, sin came into the world. Let's remember that it says through one man's sin, one act, singular, not plural. You know, up to now, Adam had not sinned, but now he had. Adam now had the nature to sin. He didn't invent all the acts of sin, but now the principle and nature entered the world, entered mankind. Remember I said just a little while ago that Adam's name means mankind. And as a result, Adam now had the nature to sin. And just as Adam passed down his human characteristics to us, like his ears, eyes, hands, feet, nose, mouth, internal organs to man, he also passed down the nature, the principle for mankind now to sin. You know, it's easy for me to say, and for you to say, well, if I was there instead of Adam, I wouldn't have done it. There's no way. You know? But guess what? We weren't. You know, just a side note, and one of the commentators brought this up. He says, you tell a little child, don't take the cookie from the cookie jar. Don't touch that. Don't do this. You can't have that. Guess what? We know what's going to happen. It's human nature. As a result of sin, we have death. And that is physical death. And we're told that physical death spread to all men. The word spread means to pass through, to travel through. But I really like the way the King James Version says it. It says that death passed upon. That death passed upon men. In other words, it was there for everybody. Now death has entered, mankind. In 1 Corinthians 15:21, we read, I'm only going to read the first half of the verse. For since by one man came death. And verse 22, for as in Adam all die. Romans 6:23 reads, for the wages of sin is death. And Hebrews 9:27 reads, and it is appointed for man to die once. The word appointed means it's been reserved. Just like we make a reservation at a restaurant. There's an appointed time for each and every one of us to die. There's no escaping it. We're going to die sooner or later unless the Lord comes first. But death is not the only consequence of Adam's sin. Back in Genesis 3:23-24, we won't go there right now. We read that God sent Adam out of the Garden of Eden. He was separated from God. This is often referred to as spiritual death. But you know what? This should tell us something about how much God really hates sin. Our God is a holy God. His judgment for sin is death. Sin separates us from Him. Sin angers Him. God cannot stand sin. And a result of Adam's act, his deed, death spread to all men because all sin. The question I ask myself is, how could I have sinned if I wasn't even born yet? How could I have sinned? What this doesn't mean is that you have to commit an act of sin to prove that you're a sinner. You are a sinner whether you think you've committed a sin or not. We are a sinner because we were represented in Adam when Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, you were an Adam, even though you weren't born yet. The sin that was attached to Adam and the death that was attached to Adam is now attached to the entire human race. One might say that we are sinners because we sin. But I like what John MacArthur says. He says, I sin because I'm a sinner. I sin because I'm a sinner. Psalm 51, verse 5 reads, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. As much as Adam passed down that sin nature, that sin principle to the human race, guess what? You and I continue to pass that down to our children, and our children to their children. It's something that we pass down. In verses 13 and 14, Paul continues and he emphasizes this point even more. He says that sin was in the world, but was not imputed or accounted to or put on account since there was no law. Remember, God gave Moses his law, his commandments, for the people to follow. But until then, there were no commandments. There was no law for the people to live by. So if there was no law, there were no commandments from God, how could they sin? They didn't know what was right, what was wrong. They didn't know what God's commandments were. But we are told that sin was still in the world. And verse 14 really emphasizes this, as it or proves this. It says that as death still reigned from Adam to Moses, remember, death was a consequence of sin. There was still death in the world from Adam to Moses, even though there was no law. Therefore, sin doesn't need the law to exist. Since there was still physical death from Adam to Moses, And since it was still not due to the sinful acts, key word here is acts, not act, of those who died, then it stands to reason that it must be the sin principle, the sin nature that was killing man, which proves he received it from birth and that it was passed down from Adam. I think that's important for us to understand it before we continue on, that we're sinners because we were born sinners. Because of one man's sinful act, mankind now has been condemned. Humanity, you and I, were condemned. But verses 15 to 21, Paul tells us that God has not left us in that state. He says that the free gift is not like the offense. That word free gift comes from the Greek word charisma, having the idea that this gift was given with grace. This is a gift that we didn't deserve. The idea of a divine gratuity, deliverance, it didn't cost you or I anything. It is a grace gift. We didn't do anything to deserve it. In Romans 5, verses that Phil read last week, verses 10 and 11, we read, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." And again, that word reconciled means to be brought back to God, restored to God. Through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That's the free gift. You know, it wasn't Christmas, it wasn't our birthday, but we still are able to receive this free gift. But this free gift wasn't just reconciliation. It was much more. And Paul says that a couple of times in these verses in 15 to 21. That the free gift was much more than the offense. This free gift also shows how much God truly loves us, and how great his mercy and grace is shown towards us. And that we are able to have this, and I like calling it the grace gift, through who? Through Jesus Christ. Verse 16 to 21 tells us how much more this free gift has given us. Paul compares Adam's offense to Christ's free gift of grace, and the effect of both. From Adam's one act of disobedience, God's judgment came to all mankind. God's judgment came upon all men, and as a result, all men are condemned. The verdict has been passed. It was a death sentence. But the free gift, the grace gift, has a much more effect. It just didn't justify us, and I like what Phil said, for the meaning of justification, or to be justified, just as if I've never sinned. That it removes the curse from Adam's sin. But as we read in those verses, it also says that it's removed the many offenses and trespasses which we've committed. Not just Adam's act, but ours as well. We're told in those verses that death reigned. In other words, it ruled, it had authority because of one man's offense. But here we have it again. This free gift has a much more, much greater effect. It says that those who receive this free gift have abundance of grace. And the idea there is superabundance. I really like that. Superabundance. It has a nice sound to it, doesn't it? We're Superman, but we have a superabundance of grace. Result is that from the superabundance of grace, we have the gift of righteousness. That is, we've been made right with God through Jesus Christ. Just a point of interest, again, one of the commentators made out that I was using says that we receive justification first, and then we receive the gift of righteousness. Also, we're told that we reign in life through Christ. Have you ever asked, what does that really mean, to reign in life? Well, first, it means that we're made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For in Adam all die, even so all in Christ shall be made alive." Remember, it's all in Christ. Also, John 10:10 reads, "I have come that you may have life." "I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." The idea here is that our life may be beyond measure, superior in quality, more than you and I could ever imagine. A more spiritual life, but also a more glorious life. But it also says what to reign in life. And one thought is that we now have power and authority over what? Over sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reads, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." We're not a victim of sin anymore. You see, we can be the victor. Why? Because Watchman Nee said in his book, Sit, Walk, and Stand, Christ has already won the victory. He's already won it. We don't have to be a victim. We can be the victor. God has given us the power and the authority over these things. I'd like just to jump quickly now, as time is running out, to verse 20. In verse 20, we're told that when the law entered the world, and we ask ourselves, why did God allow the law? It says that the offense might abound, that it would increase. You know, basically the purpose of the law was to show us what? That we were sinners. That's the basic purpose of it. But as a result, we're told that God's grace increased even more. Now, earlier I mentioned how much God hates sin, and his judgment for it is death. But, you know, if God hates sin that much, then think about it. He forgives us for all our sins that we've committed. Imagine this, though. God, who hated so much sin, yet he forgives us for all the sins that we committed. You know what that says to me? How great his love and grace is for me, is for you. I'm just looking for my spot here. Okay, here we go. Paul closes off by telling us that God's grace rules, and that by being made righteous through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have eternal life. Throughout these verses, we have learned what Adam's act resulted in: death, judgment, condemnation. In contrast, what Christ's act resulted in was justification, righteousness, life, grace, eternal life. What he did wasn't just dying on a cross to save us, but he also conquered death. He did it by being raised from the dead and staying raised. Today he sits at the right hand of the Father. Today he's there. As a result, he defeated the consequences of sin. He defeated death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that's why I asked Dave to read some of these verses this morning, that if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we couldn't rise from the dead. It's because of Christ's resurrection that we who are His are raised from the dead. He goes on to say that if Christ had not risen from the dead, then faith is not only meaningless, it is also fruitless. Believers would still be carrying the guilt of sin. Their sin would not be justified. If Christ died without a resurrection, how could He justify others? There would be no power over sin. Our power over sin comes from a faith in a living Christ and what He did for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to 57, it reads, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. It brings judgment, condemnation, separates us from God. But when we receive this free gift from God, His grace gift, from Jesus Christ, there is no sting in death. Death is simply passing out of this life into the presence of the Lord. But when sin has not been dealt with, then death should be something that is greatly feared. But we are able to have the victory because we are justified and we are made righteous through what Jesus Christ has done for us. If you know that death still grips somebody that you've talked to, or maybe it's even yourself, it has a grip on you, I want to close with this verse, John 6:47. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. There needs to be no fear in death. All you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ and what He did. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, that Your grace is superabundant grace. And what You've done for us, Lord. You've seen man's state because of one man's deed. Yet You provided Your Son to take care of that. To take care of that offense, Lord. That we may be justified and made righteous to You. We thank You so much for You and Your love and Your mercy and grace towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.